In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, March 29, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Georgia's Governor Nathan Deal announced yesterday that he will veto the controversial Pastor Protection Act. The bill would have provided a little protection for pastors and churches opposed to same-sex marriage. Todd Starnes from Fox News interprets this to mean it is now open season on people of faith in the state of Georgia. Revelation 21 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Open Doors USA has initiated a petition to President Barack Obama calling for immediate action on behalf of persecuted Christians. This follows the Pakistan church bombing on Sunday that killed 30-plus people and injured hundreds more. Emily Fuentes, spokesperson for Open Doors, told The World View that this attack was a stark reminder of the steep increase of worldwide persecution this year.
This attack is really just a reminder that the topic of Christian persecution really does need to be at the top of mind and priority for our leaders here in the U.S. and throughout the Western world, because it is happening in unprecedented numbers. 2 years ago, we said that it was an unprecedented year in Christian persecution. And sadly, this year, the past year, have equally been unprecedented years, worse than that year.
Christians can help to protect fellow believers by signing the petition at opendoorsusa.org. The hunt continues for the third Belgium bomb suspect. In the surveillance video, the man is seen wearing a white jacket and glasses. A new study from the Pew Research Center reports that Christian women around the world are more vulnerable to religious attacks. Delegates from around the world at the Women in Persecution Marcham Conference testified that Christian women are much more subject to human trafficking, forced marriage, and many other atrocities. Radicals are also targeting wives and daughters as a way of intimidating and demoralizing Christian pastors. Kate Ward, one of the delegates, said, "The greatest offense or violation one can bring to a community is to target their women and children. We see this through the countless atrocities now being witnessed by many." Psalm 72 says, "The Lord shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor." Bangladesh has voted to keep Islam as the state religion despite the petitions of secular activists. Violence has continued to escalate in that nation since September of last year. The ACLU and pro-homosexual groups are suing the state of North Carolina. They are offended that legislators passed the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act last week, and the state will not recognize the transgendered who wish to use restrooms meant for the opposite sex. A Los Angeles Times poll has Donald Trump and Ted Cruz running neck and neck in California, 36% to 35%, with Kasich taking 14%. The California primary is still 2 months away. The Attorney General is pressuring local and state judges to ease off on prosecutions of criminals, especially those of minority background. Loretta Lynch advised compliance to the demands or face the loss of federal funds. Leviticus 19:15 says, "You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." Another military defeat for ISIS in the Syrian conflict. Syria's government finally drove ISIS out of Palmyra, a city held by the Islamic State for over a year. The victory marks a major defeat for ISIS. As the psalmist says, "How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors." Indeed, the Lord does use the weak things of the world to confound the wise and to show His infinite wisdom. Last Thursday, we heard of a 10-year-old Alabama boy riding in a truck when the driver passed into diabetic shock. Little Albert Wheeler took over the wheel and continued to steer the truck for 10 miles down the highway, pursued by police officers, no less. The boy finally reached the brake, pulled over, and stopped the truck. Alabama's law enforcement agency posted this on Facebook after the incident. The child's actions may have saved the driver's life, his own life, and the lives of others on the road at the time. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, March 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we're raising our kids out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado in the 21st century, in this brave new world where 57% of kids born to millennials born out of wedlock, where, yeah, dysfunctionality has become the rule. In cases like this, what do you do? How does a Christian come out from among them and be separate? And thousands of parents listening to this broadcast are asking the same questions I'm asking, and that is, how do we do plan B? How do we get apart from the way the world is raising kids and raise our children in the fear, the nurture, the admonition of the Lord, as we're instructed to do in Ephesians 6:4? This is the warp and the woof. This is the bread and butter of this radio program, and Bill Jack in studio with me today. And one of the concerns that a lot of parents have is sex education. And sex education, of course, is becoming increasingly secular and less tied to the fear of God. If you don't teach the beginning of knowledge as the fear of God in the sex ed class, you're wasting your time, especially if you assume that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God, and that's very, very fundamental to your epistemology, your system of knowledge, then, friends, it's got to play in the way you educate your children. Well, this new documentary coming out and being promoted on Lifeside News, it's called The War on Children. Evidently, back in the early 2000s, 58% of kids were educated in high schools on comprehensive sex ed. That number is much higher today, largely because federal funding for abstinence sex ed was pulled in 2010. So if you're hearing that the modern sex ed programs are comprehensive, evidence-based, age-appropriate, and they promote healthy relationships, then, friends, they're talking about CSE. You say, what's CSE? It's comprehensive sex ed. Comprehensive sex ed, you say, well, what does it teach? Well, if you go to check out this new documentary, The War on Children, you'll find out that comprehensive sex ed teaches children how to self-gratify themselves. And we won't describe these things to you, but we'll just say that the comprehensive sex ed program is very faithful at doing such things in the high school classrooms across this country. And again, friends, this is probably 80 to 90% of your high schools across this country bring in comprehensive sex education, much of it mandated by state law. Comprehensive sex ed encourages acceptance and exploration, diverse sexual orientation and gender identities. What does that mean? Transgender, GLSEN, that's what that's all about. CSE promotes high-risk sexual behaviors and teaches they are safe. I'm not going to talk about what the high-risk sexual behaviors are. It promotes sexual pleasure and promiscuity as a right for children. It promotes abortion as safe and without consequences. It encourages children to experiment sexually with individuals of their own sex or the opposite sex. It claims access to comprehensive sexuality education is a human right. It teaches that children and youth are sexual from birth. That is, that children should be engaging in sexuality early on. In fact, many CSE programs teach children about sex, sexuality, or sexual pleasure as young as 5 years of age. The World Health Organization also has programs with CSE concepts targeting children from as early as 0 to 4 years of age. All right, it's comprehensive sex education, new video out called The War on Children. And Bill, this modern sex education approach is accomplishing something, and that is to be sure that 57% of millennial kids are born outside of wedlock, at least to the millennial women who are between ages 18 and 35 years of age. Well, that, my friends, is the consequence. The consequence is, an increase in illegitimacy by tenfold since 1960. And this is a contributing factor to it. Now, granted, it's not the only factor. I'm sure Hollywood and Nashville and Lady Gaga and Madonna play a part in this as well.
You know, it's really interesting because at Worldview Academy, we take students out and we have them interview college students on college campuses across the country. And it's fascinating because you peel back the veneer, you peel back the layer, and you begin to see what's underneath education in general. When they teach just the mechanics, when they just teach the specifics without the underlying worldview, which begins with what is the basis for knowledge? What is the basis for knowing anything? Your epistemology, and that's the fear of the Lord. And you see that, and we've had students go out and talk about this issue, specifically about sex education.
Now, this is your man on the street interview.
Yes.
At, I believe it's TU, Texas University.
University of Texas.
And why don't you play it for us? Here it is. This is an interview with a student at the University of Texas who obviously has had some sex ed.
I think that's all a question of perspective. As to, like, conception and what that means.
What do you think conception is?
I think it means that there's something growing inside of you, and there's not necessarily a baby just yet, but it can develop. It develops into one, obviously. So.
When does life begin?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist. So.
Is that a scientific question, in your opinion?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so there it is. Bill, what he said is that there's a life form that grows inside of a pregnant woman, but it's not a baby yet.
Yeah, he was asked, what is conception?
Uh-huh.
He said it means something's growing inside you. It's not a baby just yet. And my question is, so what is it? Is it a puppy? Is it a gerbil? What is it? And then he goes on and he says, when does life begin? And he said, well, that's a scientific question. I can't answer that. And now this is the product of comprehensive sex education. He's gone through 12 years of CSE, and he doesn't know when conception takes place. He doesn't know what happens when a woman gets pregnant, whether it's a puppy or a guppy or a baby, just yet. Now, this would be the poster child
yeah.
for more comprehensive sex education in schools, because obviously it's not doing its job, so we need more of it.
But it's really a worldview. It's a
yes.
worldview that instructs students in a self-orientation, first of all. The idea of existentialism, that you make choices for the immediacy, for your own benefit, without anybody imposing anything upon you. And, of course, that's the basis of the pro-choice movement.
Now, what was the definition for the comprehensive sex ed program? What were the three words that they used?
Three words are comprehensive, evidence-based, age-appropriate, and it promotes healthy relationships.
Okay, first of all, it's not comprehensive because he doesn't know what conception is. He doesn't know when life begins. It's not, what was the second one?
Evidence-based.
Then? Evidence-based because he doesn't know the evidence of what happens. And age-appropriate?
Doubtful
because here's a college student and he still doesn't know the ins and outs of conception.
All right, be back in just a moment with more on this secularistic approach to sex education. Friends, of course, completely supporting the idea of population control, completely supporting the idea of autonomy in the area of sexuality, completely supporting the idea of aborting as many children as possible through contraceptive abortifacient methods and surgical abortions, and endorsing the idea of as much sexual perversion as possible. This is the agenda. This is the modern way of life. This is the agenda by way the schools, the majority of high schools in America will do its best to destroy the family, to destroy sexuality, and to destroy an entire civilization. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
To the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Bill Jack also in studio today. Friends, you got to understand that comprehensive sex education is a huge part of the public school vision. Ideologically, friends, this is the purpose for the existence of public schools. That's why comprehensive sex education, which implies the idea that this is Bible class for 16 years. All the way from the time a child is 2 or 3 years of age until he's 18 or 20 or 22 years of age, this is Bible class for the secular. People need to understand this, that comprehensive sex education is vital for the modern ideology, for modern secularism, that, of course, Margaret Sanger, Karl Marx, and others have adopted over time. Read about how secularism developed and completely dominates modern institutions in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. But comprehensive sex education now takes over the public schools. For a while, abstinence was encouraged by Christian organizations and Christian public policy organizations. They pushed very hard on abstinence program funding and gathered about $100 million per year. And I think the federal government spent about $1 billion on this to almost no avail. You're not going to see that the illegitimacy rates changed all that much over the last 15 years, friends. It just doesn't that way. We're going to critique both abstinence and comprehensive sex ed in just a moment. But just in terms of the facts, 18 states require that when provided, sex education must include information on contraception. So that's mandated by the following states: Alabama, California, Colorado, and Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, Oregon, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, District of Columbia. All 18 states here require that sex ed include information on contraception. 12 states require that when provided, sex education cover homosexuality or sexual orientation. 9 states require an inclusive perspective on sexual orientation. That is the 9 worst states in the United States, mandating a GLSEN type of education for our high school kids. California, Colorado, Delaware, Iowa, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Rhode Island, Washington. Friends, these are the 9 worst states in America when it comes to encouraging homosexuality in the public schools. Again, as parents, you ought to be concerned about this, my friends. If you live in these states, you got to be concerned that comprehensive sex education will include sexual orientation, encouraging homosexuality in these 9 states. Here they are: California, Colorado, Delaware, Iowa, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Washington. That includes our state as well. Yep. Any parent living in these states ought to be very, very concerned, because there are 9 states that require an inclusive perspective on sexual orientation be given. Now, let's analyze this for just a moment, Bill. Now, I'm going to argue that turning this form of education over to the parents is crucial. For one thing, I believe that parents are primarily responsible for the bringing up of children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they ought to teach the word of God to the children as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. It ought to be integrated within the experience of that child as he's being raised in that home. That's Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. And certainly Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7 ought to be mentioned from time to time. That's why our Proverbs Bible study guides provided. And by the way, if you want comprehensive biblical education, you're going to find it in the book of Proverbs. Of course, it's going to be provided in the fear of God. And I encourage you to grab our family Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com, if you're interested.
You know, that's what happens if you divorce it from a moral basis, a biblical basis, then you just teach the mechanics. And people who were interested in that clip, I'm producing a new DVD called Would You Agree? And it has that clip on it, and they can get that from me. But I just reading the American College of Pediatricians have come out with a statement on gender ideology harms children. This is March 21st of 2016. The American College of Pediatricians urges educators and legislators to reject all policies that condition children to accept as normal a life of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex. Facts, not ideology, determine reality. These are the statements. Number one, human sexuality is an objective biological binary trait, not genetic markers of a disorder. Number two, no one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Gender is a sociological and psychological concept, not an objective biological one. Number three, a person's belief that he or she is something that they are not is at best a sign of confused thinking. Number four, puberty is not a disease, and puberty-blocking hormones can be dangerous. They go on to say that what's happening in public schools is harming children because it teaches them, in those nine states, that homosexuality or telling them that they are of a different gender is harmful to children. They end with this: conditioning children into believing a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful is child abuse.
Pretty harsh words. And yes, a lot of dangers in the public schools today, my friends. And that's just one example. Secularism has messed up society in hundreds of different ways. And we could go over them, but we don't have time on this edition of the program. But now let's get back to what we do as parents when it comes to sexual education. One of the challenges here, Bill, and I think we need to mention it, is what Paul brings out in Romans 7, verse 5, when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death, but also sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, the law can inspire and encourage and rouse certain passions. It's sort of the beans in the nose use of the law. When the mother tells the kids, don't stick beans in your nose, and she goes off shopping, comes home, finds they all have beans in their noses.
And then she needs to go back to the store to buy more beans.
And perhaps she might have talked about nasal transmitted diseases. She might have said, what's
nothing? It's nothing to sneeze at. I'll tell you that.
Do not put beans in your noses, kids. Yeah. Think about nasal transmitted diseases. You know, teaching, of course, the beans in the nose thing from the fear of nasal transmitted diseases. But whatever the case, Christians need to realize that even abstinence sex ed programs can be counterproductive, because moralism itself is really not enough. The more you say it, the more you talk about it, the more likely they are to do it. Which do you think would be more effective at keeping kids away from it? Here's sex like whatever, man. Or here's sex. Don't do it, kids. Whatever you do, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. Okay, which is going to be more effective? I have a feeling they're both going to be about equal. Now, here's what you've got to do. You've got to teach them about sin. Teach them about lustful desires. Tell your kids that everybody has some kind of a lustful desire that wants that forbidden thing. And point it out. Point it out within yourself. Confess that you have it within yourself. You know, now, of course, you can't do this in the public schools. You can't talk about sin in the public schools. And, of course, you can't talk about Christ. But within the homeschool context, where parents are involved, now you can get down to a biblical approach to dealing with these matters. You just simply say, hey, you see these posters? We just rode by this poster. Now, my guess is that's going to arouse in some of us something of those lustful desires that are there within us. And when we check out these bad things that parents forbid, you know, there's a lustful desire in you. You want to hide something. You want to go after something that mom and dad said don't go after. Well, at that point, you need to show them that the gospel is their only hope. and that Jesus came to save us from our sins, and these desires within us are way more powerful than anything we can ever handle ourselves, and only Jesus, by his death and resurrection, can overcome these things in our lives. That, my friends, is a much more powerful way to handle sex education than what you're going to find in an abstinence-based program funded by $1 billion of public monies.
It's just a matter of who is going to control the purse strings and then who's going to fund education. And what needs to happen is parents need to regain control and choose what they're going to teach their children, how they're going to teach their children, and on what basis they're going to teach their children these things.
You know, Bill, I think the time is right for us to warn parents everywhere about what's going on in the public schools. By the way, we're not the first ones to do this. Throughout history, great Christian teachers and pastors have raised this issue. I'm talking the greatest. The men whose books are still read after hundreds, if not thousands, of years, they've warned about these things before. Of course, they weren't dealing with mandated instruction on homosexuality in public schools back then. But let me give you a couple of quotes that you'll find in Keep the Faith on Education, a crucial book for families, churches, and pastors in the present day. We've collected these quotes in one little handbook, but Martin Lloyd-Jones, probably the greatest pastor, or one of the greatest pastors of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, was considering the dangers of modern education when he wrote this in the 1960s. I'm talking the 1960s. This was a long, long time before you'd find today.
I lived through the 1960s.
All right. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones, great pastor from the 1950s and 60s, said children are being taught perverse things in the schools. They hear them on the wireless and see them on television. The whole emphasis is anti-God, anti-Bible, and anti-supernatural. Who is going to counter these trends? That is precisely the business of parents. Friends, he wrote that in the 1960s. In the 1920s, J. Gresham Machen, one of the most important Christians who fought liberalism in the 1920s, salvaging a little piece of true Christianity in the 1920s. Here's J. Gresham Machen. He says, place the lives of children in their formative years, despite the convictions of their parents, under the intimate control of experts appointed by the state, where the mind is filled with the materialism of the day, and it is difficult to see how even the remnants of liberty can subsist. Such a tyranny, supported as it is by a perverse technique used as the instrument in destroying human souls, is certainly far more dangerous than the crude tyrannies of the past. He wrote that 100 years ago. Bill, what would he think today with the automatons that have been carefully trained by the materialism of the present day and the radical sexual perversions of our day? Here's A.A. Hodge, the president of Princeton University, writing in the 1880s. Friends, this was somewhat of a conservative university in the 1880s. And this was A.A. Hodge, a Christian president of Princeton University, writing in the 1880s. I am as sure as I am of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education separated from religion, as is now commonly proposed, will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian and atheistic unbelief and of anti-social, nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, and I'd add sexual, which the sin-rent world has ever seen. These are some of the most amazing hyperboles or some of the most intense warnings ever issued in the history of the Christian faith, and issued 120 years before the radical materialism and antisocial nihilistic sexual ethics that are taught in just about every public school today. Friends, if parents won't listen now to the wisdom of the ages, there is no hope. There will be no hope for you as parents or for your children. Here's John Wesley writing in the 1760s. Again, I'm picking just about every denomination. I picked Presbyterian, Methodists, Calvinists, Baptists, and here's a Methodist, John Wesley, writing in the 1760s. For what end do you send your children to school? Why, that they may be fit to live in the world. In which world do you mean? This world or the next? To send them to school, permit me to speak plainly, is little better than sending them to the devil. John Wesley, 1760s. At all events, then, send your boys, if you have any concern for their souls, not to any of the public schools, for they are nurseries of all manner of wickedness. And he goes on and says, send them to Christian instructors that will mentor them in the Word of God. And then, of course, Martin Luther of the 1540s. I'm hitting just about every century, just about every denomination now, including Lutherans. Okay, so I'm cross-denominational in this program. If anybody will listen to the wisdom of the ages, if any parent is listening right now, take these warnings to heart. I plead with you, take the warnings to heart. Martin Luther, I am much afraid that the universities will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving in them the hearts of youth. I advise no one, to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Now, let me ask you this question. Are men unceasingly occupied with the Word of God at our universities today?
I don't think so.
Unceasingly occupied. That sounds like it's unceasing.
Well, unceasingly occupied with destroying the Word of God.
That's true.
Yeah.
And never mind the universities. What would Martin Luther say about the K-12 schools that promote GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Education Network? Friends, let me ask you this. What sort of teacher do you want to give your children for majority influence? The Bible says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And Jesus said in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. What sort of teacher will you provide for your children? If parents are not going to provide their children a Christian paideia in Jesus, then they need to repent and start doing that today. This is one of the major sins of the day, Bill, and I think that's why we need to bring it out again and again. For ministering to cannibalism, we're going to probably address the issue of human life and the problem of cannibalism, but we don't live with cannibals today. We live with parents, many of whom are sending their kids off to Charles Darwin and John Dewey for their education.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like living among cannibals. They're cannibalizing our children.
Well, it's almost what God says in Ezekiel 23, for they have committed adultery and blood is on their hands. With their idols, they have committed adultery and they have even offered up to them for food the children whom they have borne to me.
They actually offered human sacrifices.
Yeah.
They took their babies and rolled them down the arms of idols into open mouths, into these hollow idols into which fires have been built.
In Leviticus 18, we read, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Those words are spoken to Christians listening to this program right now, to Christian parents. See, these are serious issues. I mean, really serious issues. Now, we're not just talking about education, that is, schools, either. Sometimes parents will passively accept entertainment that takes God's name in vain and presents a bad worldview in their homes without even addressing these things. We can just let our children roll into the arms of Moloch or Baal by bringing in entertainment, certain cultural devices into the home, and not providing a careful discernment when it comes to these forms of entertainment. That's why we wrote the book, The Tattoo Jesus, what Jesus would say about pop culture. And that's why we have our family Bible study guides as well, friends, doing the best to provide as many resources as possible. But most importantly, I'd recommend to you the book, Keep the Faith on Education, just a little hardback, including the quotes that I read on this edition of the program. There are hundreds of quotes in this book from the greatest Christian teachers from multiple denominations. So friends, I encourage you to be sure that you keep the faith and you understand that the thing that erodes the faith in the modern centuries are false teachers and false worldviews that are promoted by educational resources, public school temples, many, many public school temples that teach a wrong religion, a wrong worldview. Please, my friends, get a copy of Keep the Faith on Education, just a little hardback book we put together, such that you could hand it off to your kids and your grandkids. On the front, we have 80-33 to 80-2100, hoping that some would pass this on and that this little book would be used in some way to salvage the faith in your generations. Keep the Faith on Education, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the